Have you ever played hide and seek with a small child? It's interesting. You play hide and seek with a small child. The places that they will choose to hide. You know, they'll hide behind things with body parts hanging out. They'll crawl underneath of or on top of something where they really aren't hidden, but in their mind they must be. Or they'll hide underneath of or on top of something that they clearly had to move and rearrange, and it's clear that it's been done so. Because they think it will be a safe place to hide. And there's another interesting thing about playing hide and seek with a child. It's that if you don't find them soon enough, they start to squirm and move, trying to get you to notice them, or they'll start to make some noises so that you'll hear them and will find them. Like playing hide-and-seek with a small child, Jesus tells his disciples that his teaching is available and apparent to all people. Unlike playing hide-and-seek with a small child, though, Jesus says that not everyone will find the truth of his teaching. In this sense, it is more like when I put something someplace where I won't lose it, and then I go to look for it, and have to look and look and look some more, and look where I've already looked again and again. And finally, when I find it, it's sitting right there in plain sight. And I say, it's just been hiding in plain sight. Have you ever said that? It's hiding in plain sight. And Jesus' teaching is out there in plain sight for people to hear, for people to read, for people to understand. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 13, tells several parables, stories that are meant to reveal some truth as an illustration might illuminate a teaching. In the midst of these parables, the first one is what we know as the parable of the soils, one in which Jesus tells the parable and then gives the explanation of the parable. And in between the parable of the soils and the explanation of the parable, Jesus' disciples have this opportunity to ask Jesus a question. They want to understand what the parable means. And Jesus, moving away from the crowds and with his disciples, he privately answers their question. And this morning, that teaching to the disciples themselves is the teaching that we're going to look at. Matthew chapter 13 and beginning with verse 10. Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 10, it says, "Then the disciples came to him and asked, 'Why do you speak in parables to the people?' He replied, 'The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Jesus says that we have heard, we have seen things that others have not. Tells his disciples that they were in a privileged position, not because they're the only ones who audibly heard the teachings of Jesus, but because they are the ones who truly listened and truly heard what he had to say. You see, in this teaching, Jesus indicates to his disciples and to the rest of us, as a matter of application of his parable of the soils, which he will give an explanation to following verse 17. You see, verse 17 and following gives us the meaning, but in these verses, Jesus says, here is the application. Here is how you know the soils. Before we look at those responses, I want to cover just a little bit about the parables of Jesus, because it's important for us as followers of Christ to understand some things about the parables. You see, we speak of parables, but and there are different kinds of parables that can be told, but we want to understand specifically the parables of Jesus. And Jesus gives his disciples some understanding about his parables. He says to them, to you has been given the teaching of the kingdom of heaven. And you have to understand that Matthew speaks about the kingdom of heaven. And when he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, when the other gospel writers speak, they often don't speak of the kingdom of heaven. They speak about the kingdom of God. And they're talking about the same thing. They're talking about the rule, the ruling authority of God. The ruling authority, the place that God has power and authority. It's his governance, it's his majesty, it's his right to rule. And we talk about the kingdom of God, we talk about the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus says to his disciples, when you hear the parables, when you hear me speak with these sayings and these forms of communication that we'll call parables, he says, you need to understand that you are receiving the teachings about the kingdom of God. They're not just witty little stories that Jesus says to illustrate anything and everything, but rather they are stories that Jesus is using to help his disciples and therefore helping you and I as we study the teachings of the disciples to understand what it is like to live under the authority and to willingly choose to live under the reign of God as our King. The parables are stories meant to explain the kingdom of heaven. But as we look at the parables that Jesus teaches, we also find that the parables reveal to us a lot of truth about Jesus and about God. We read the parables and we read about them, and if we study them and we think about them as teachings about the kingdom of God, then we also will find in many places that we're being taught about the character, about the nature, about the person of God and the person of Jesus in such a way that those truths are are plain, but they are also hidden. We also find that as we look at the parables, some of them, not all of them, but some of the parables explain Jesus' ministry. They begin to explain in ways that are deep and ways that are understandable as we look at back at them through the lens of the cross. As we begin to look at the parables from that standpoint, we begin to see that Jesus many times was explaining in his parables the ministry that he came to carry out. And we see that as the gospel writers begin to relate the parables that Jesus told, they are looking back at them through the lens of the cross as well, and they are able to get a different view of what the parables mean because of the cross. And therefore, the final thing that I want to say about the parables is they reveal the mystery of the Old Testament. Jesus told his disciples that the prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, and they longed to hear what you hear, but they did not see and they did not hear it. Jesus is saying to them that the prophets from long ago longed to understand and know the mystery of what God was going to do in history. And they couldn't completely and clearly see what was there. But as Jesus begins to tell the parables, he begins to illuminate the situation so that the disciples can see and hear things. And they begin to look back at the Old Testament, and things from the Old Testament begin to make sense in a new way because Jesus is illuminating, Jesus is revealing the mystery. But he does it in parables. He does it in these stories that open up the truth in a unique way. And Jesus tells his disciples that there are three responses that people have to the parables. I would say not just the parables, but Jesus in this instance is saying that there are three responses that people will have to the parables that he's telling. And he says to his disciples, this is why I teach in parables. And then he goes back to the prophet Isaiah, and he quotes from Isaiah chapter 32. And if your Bible is like mine, if you begin in verse 17, partway through, or excuse me, 13, part of 13, all of 14, and all of 15 are indented, and they show us that it is, one, it is a prophecy, and two, that it's poetic in nature. And Jesus says that there are three responses, and he takes these responses from the prophet Isaiah. In verse 14, he says, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. And as he quotes that part of Isaiah, what he is saying to them is that there will be those who misunderstand the parables. There will be those who hear them. They're listening, and audibly they hear the parables. The problem is that they don't understand what it is they're hearing. While they see Jesus and his ministry, while they hear Jesus teaching, they think they understand. They believe that they understand what Jesus is saying, but in the end, they really don't. And we can tell stories to help people understand some things, but sometimes the stories we use just aren't, well, they just don't make sense. One of the men who has skydived from the highest of locations was asked, what's it like to be up that far in the air and to jump out of a plane with nothing there? And he thought about it for a moment. And he said, it's like swimming in the air. And I thought, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. I've never swam in the air before. Water maybe, but never in the air. Or think about trying to explain to somebody what eating cotton candy is like if they've never had cotton candy. It's like eating a cloud. Yeah, when was the last time you ate a cloud? You see, we try to help people understand, and sometimes we really don't. We confuse the situation, and Jesus is saying, you know, if you get it, you get it. But there are a lot of people who think they get the parables of Jesus, but they misunderstand them. They think he's just giving some good teaching about how to live life. They think that he's saying things just about all kinds of good things, but what they don't understand is that Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God. I think about it another way. It's kind of like the things that the people were seeing. Jesus sometimes would do things and people would misunderstand them. Well, parables are kind of like that. Jesus says that they would hear with their ears and they would see with their eyes, but they wouldn't catch the meaning. Kind of like illusions or what we might call magic tricks. Where somebody has studied the way that the brain works and they figured out a way to manipulate your cognition to make it appear that something is happening or something is being done that really isn't. You know, like when the magician pulls the rabbit out of his hat. Yeah, I'm sure he's got that many rabbits just living in this hat, right? I've never figured out how they do it, but I know that they're tricking my brain. Well, Jesus says that a lot of people who hear his teaching and see his miraculous works will misunderstand what it is. And in fact, even if we look at the ministry of Jesus, and there is a point where the message is non-intelligible. Where the message, if we don't look at it from the right frame of mind, if we don't hear with the right ears, it just simply doesn't make sense. And Paul points this out as he's writing to the book of, or to the book. Yes, he's writing to the book. That doesn't make sense either. He's writing to the church at Corinth in the book of 1 Corinthians. And one of the passages that has been the most important for me in life, as I just continue to think through what it means to be a follower of Jesus, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul makes this statement. He says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The cross, it's one thing. But for those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Paul says it is foolishness. He'll also say that it's a stumbling block to those who don't understand. It's foolishness. It's a stumbling block, both to the Jews and to the Greeks. Because if we don't look at the cross through what Jesus is saying, if we just talk about the cross, we can talk about not Good Friday. We just talk about another Friday. But in understanding the ministry of Jesus, we talk about Good Friday. Because the message, well, a lot of people see the message and they just misunderstand. The second response that Jesus talks about to his disciples, to the parables, is in verse 15. He says, "For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them." You see, there are some people who just misunderstand the message of Jesus Christ. There are some people who heard what he said and they just misunderstood the parables. But there was a second group of people that heard the parables and they understood what Jesus was saying. But they just dismissed them. Or more correctly, they dismissed him. They understood what Jesus was saying in the parables and they didn't like it. And so they would hear what Jesus said, they would see what Jesus did, and they did not want to accept the message that Jesus was bringing. And the way Jesus puts this, I think about this as, you know, children, when they don't want to hear what you say, what do children do? Yeah, they put your fingers in your ears, close your eyes, and blah, 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 make some repetitive nonsense noise. Because they don't want to see what you're saying. They don't want to hear what you're saying. They just want to ignore you. And Jesus is saying that there's a lot of people. There are a lot of people who simply, spiritually, put their fingers in their ears and close their eyes and just ignore what he's saying. Commentary writer and professor R.T. France says this of the Greek, or this is the way he translates the Greek here. He says, "With their ears they have heard heavily, and their eyes they have closed." Have you ever just intentionally not listened to something somebody was saying? Don't point to your spouse, please. I don't want to see things like that. It's either saying that they do that or that you've just ignored them. Either way, that's another time and place. But there are people that we just kind of, well, they begin to talk and we begin to zone them out. We just kind of ignore what it is they have to say. And it isn't that we can't hear them. It isn't that there isn't the ability to hear them. It is that we have decided to close our ears and to not listen. We have made a deliberate decision. And Jesus is saying to his disciples that there are people who make a deliberate decision not to listen. And we could look at scriptures, and we have looked at scriptures, and one of the greatest examples of this in the pages of scripture comes back in the book of Exodus. 10 times God speaks to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, through Moses and Aaron. And 10 times Pharaoh says, "I hear what you're saying, but I'm not buying it. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I see the miraculous things that God is doing through you, but no, No, I'm not listening. I'm going to reject the truth that you are telling me, Moses, because I have my own power and my own strength, and I don't have to listen to you. I think about it today, and I can see it. In studying, there are times when I open up a book that is written by somebody who, while they are, this baffles me all the time, they're New Testament scholars, they have before them the texts of the New Testament, they're New Testament scholars, but they do not accept that Jesus is the Christ. They'll show you why you can believe that Jesus existed and Jesus lived, but they will not accept the truth of his teachings. They put their fingers in their ears and they say, la, 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 and they close their eyes to the truth that's right there in front of them. I guess that's why Paul could write in Romans chapter 1 that though they know the truth of God, they choose not to follow it. There's a third response that Jesus talks about, and it begins in verse 16 when Jesus says, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." And the third response to the parables is this. Thisk. That's a new word too. Interesting warning. The third response to the parables is to ask questions. The third response isn't to get it immediately and understand it fully. The third response is to ask some questions. You see, the difference between the people that didn't understand what Jesus was teaching and the disciples is a question. Jesus, why are you speaking to them in parables? Jesus, what is it that you're trying to say here? And this is what the disciples did. It says they got Jesus aside. The 12 of them were alone in a crowd with Jesus, and they say, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And there will be other places where the disciples are willing to ask Jesus some questions. Jesus, what do you mean? Jesus, what are you saying? Jesus, help us to understand. Because here's the truth. The disciples wanted to understand. Some of the crowd only wanted to hear what they wanted to hear, and they misunderstood. Some of the crowd began to understand, but they didn't like what Jesus was saying, so they ignored him. But the disciples, began to ask some questions and began to try to understand what Jesus was teaching. And while we don't have Jesus here, Jesus isn't sitting down in one of these pews this morning for us to ask him some questions. We have this. We have the Word of God before us. And we can study the Scriptures. And we can look at a passage like the one before what we're studying, where Jesus tells the parable of the sower and the soils, and we can begin to ask, what does Jesus mean? What is this passage about? And we can look at what comes before, and we can read a few chapters before, and we can look at a few verses or a chapter or two chapters after, and we can begin to understand what Jesus is saying. Or we can look at some of the things that Jesus said, and we can look at Matthew, and then we can look at Mark and Luke and John, and we can say, how do the stories fit together about the teaching of Jesus? And we can look at what Jesus quotes from Isaiah, and we can turn back to the book of Isaiah, and we can look at a few verses or chapters around this passage in Isaiah, and we can say, oh, Jesus is saying that He is going to speak the truth, and people are just going to choose whether or not they're going to listen. And maybe we don't always get the answer straight from Scripture. And so we ask a question of somebody that we know has studied the Word. And so you can find a preacher or a teacher that you respect, and you can say, what is your view of this? How do you read this? What is Jesus saying? What is the Scripture saying at this point? And like the disciples, we begin to ask some questions. You know, for me, it's often I pick up some reference works, some commentaries, or a good study Bible. And I begin to ask the question, what does Jesus mean? What does this passage mean? And we come to an understanding of what it is that the Scriptures is saying, like the disciples, because we're willing to ask the questions. And Jesus says that we are blessed. We are blessed if we hear and we see. And Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 3, or excuse me, 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 10, Peter says this, and it echoes what Jesus is saying in verse 17 of Matthew chapter 13. Peter writes, he says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was come to you searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you, when they spoke of the things that you have now been told by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Peter's telling his audience that you have the privilege, you have been blessed to have the interpretation of the things that the prophets of old wanted to understand, that the angels in heaven, wanted to understand. We have been given that message, that mystery has been revealed in the teachings of Jesus Christ and in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ as recorded by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have the truth, and it's here before us. And the question is are we willing to line up the truth with the truth that has been taught to us? You see, the disciples, Peter is saying that they allowed the truth, the message, to line up with the truth, Jesus Christ, who was in their midst. They didn't completely understand everything they heard. In fact, John in his gospel says when they got to the tomb, it was then that they began to understand. We don't have to understand everything immediately the first time we hear it, the first time we read it. But are we willing to listen, and are we willing to line up our truth You see, the disciples, they didn't understand the truth until after the resurrection and the ascension, and they began to put the pieces together about what Jesus was teaching. And things began to make sense to them. And sometimes as we read Scripture, things don't make sense right away. But if we keep at it, if we keep studying, if we keep trying, things begin to click. But you see, I think there's one more thing that Jesus wanted his disciples to understand. And that was that if people didn't respond to their message, it wasn't always their fault. In fact, probably most of the time, it was not their fault if people didn't respond to the message. Because this is the same way that people have responded to the Word of God since the Garden of Eden. In fact, Jesus quotes from Isaiah chapter 32, but if you look at Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah is in what I'll call his ordination ceremony in the holy throne room of heaven. And God tells him, Isaiah, I'm sending you out to speak to these people, but they're not going to listen to you. I tell you what, that's not the first thing you want to hear somebody tell you. Hey, I've got a job for you, and it's going to seem like for your whole career you're unsuccessful.
Sign me up.
Yeah, and still Isaiah says, here I am, send me. But we must remember, Isaiah wasn't the only one, by the way. If you look at, read the prophet Jeremiah, if you read Ezekiel, they're told similar things. Yeah, you're going to preach and people just aren't going to listen. We must remember, though, that if people reject the message that we bring on behalf of God, it is not us that we're rejecting. It is God and His message. But yet we still must speak. This passage also serves as a warning to us. A warning to us to make sure that we are listening well and paying attention to the message of God that He is giving to us. And for those outside of the family of Christ, it's a message. It is a call. It is a call to come close and to hear the message in a new way, in a way that has eternal significance, and to accept God's offer of salvation through Jesus Christ. The question is how will we listen? How will we listen to the truth that we have?